Coast Guard is relaxing certification standards for a Shell oil spill containment barge. The company convinced regulators the Arctic Challenger should be considered a mobile unit. Among other things, that means its mooring system only needs to be able to weather a 10-year storm as opposed to the more rigorous 100-year standard for fixed platforms. Coast Guard Commander Chris O'Neill says the change was based on a more complete understanding of how the ship would be used. The Challenger is carrying equipment that would help cap an out-of-control well. During the drilling season, the Challenger will anchor in between the Beaufort and Chukchi Sea, but could move to either if there's a spill. O'Neill says for that reason, a mobile classification made more sense.
The 10-year criteria is an industry-recognized standard that applies to mobile offshore drilling units, which are capable of moving in advance of major storms.
But the change in certification standards does not mean the barge has been approved to head north.
The vessel is still under construction, so we haven't yet had time to finalize inspections in that part of the process. Some of the deficiencies that we have identified throughout the process included firefighting and electrical systems, operations manuals still have to be approved. So there are a number of steps left before we can certificate the Arctic Challenger.
O'Neill could not say how long that would take, saying it's up to Shell and its contractors. Shell spokesman Curtis Smith also declined to specify a timeline, but said the company hopes to have the Challenger in the Arctic in the near future. Shell cannot start drilling until the barge is approved. O'Neill says the Coast Guard won't rush the process, even if that means Shell is not able to drill this summer.
People need to know that if the vessel does not meet the appropriate standards, it will not receive a certificate of inspection, and that's the bottom line.
The Los Angeles Times reported yesterday that the barge was scheduled to be inspected yesterday, but that has been pushed back indefinitely. Environmentalists are urging the EPA to block Shell's request for a waiver from the Clean Air Act for its Discoverer vessel. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, groups have collected hundreds of thousands of signatures opposing the so-called compliance order.
It was a typical summer day in Washington, with the humidity on full blast and the temperature rushing toward the 90s before noon. And much like any other summer day in Washington, this one was complete with a protest, albeit a small, muted one. A few more than a dozen activists gathered at the national headquarters of the Environmental Protection Agency to present EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson with 360,000 letters, letters that urge her to make sure Shell plays by the rules, as environmental groups are phrasing it. Cindy Shogan directs the Alaska Wilderness League.
I think EPA needs to do a full comment period on allowing them not to meet their permits.
A public comment period could take months to complete, nearly certainly throwing Shell off its schedule. Shell requested the compliance order for the vessel a few weeks ago. The company concedes it cannot meet emissions requirements for its main generator under the Clean Air Act. In a statement, the EPA says it's working with Shell to grant the approval, and it's confident the company will be able to begin as planned this year. That's maddening to Travis Nichols. He's with Greenpeace and says if EPA grants the waiver, it could set precedent for offshore drilling everywhere.
It says that big oil can change the rules and that big oil can move the goalposts before the game begins, and there are no consequences.
Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar says he'll make a final decision on whether Shell can proceed by August 15th. He told the New York Times last week nothing is guaranteed at this point. The department could ultimately not grant its final permit, though some people could be reading the tea leaves from the news of the day. The environmental groups delivered their letters of opposition on the same day the Obama administration announced its plan to hold a lease sale off of Texas for 20 million acres of unleased waters in the western Gulf of Mexico. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.
Another candidate has entered the municipal election fray here in Juneau. Paul Nowlin said yesterday that he's collecting signatures and intends to file for Juneau Assembly once the filing period opens August 3rd. The 35-year-old Petro Marine office manager says he wants to give back to the community where he grew up. He says he's not pushing any agenda or platform besides doing the people's business.
What I really want to do is set up a website and get a feel for what everyone in Juneau, what their opinions are, rather rather than go in with my own intentions. My only intention is to spend efficiently, look for ways to save money, try and get the taxes down, if that's an option.
This will be Nowlin's first run for elected office. On Monday, he filed a letter of intent with the Alaska Public Offices Commission, allowing him to begin raising campaign funds. As a resident of the Lemon Creek neighborhood, Nowlin will be vying for the District 1 assembly seat currently held by Deputy Mayor David Stone, who cannot run again because of term limits. Lauren Jones, who lost a bid for assembly last year, previously announced plans to run for the same seat. District 1 includes downtown Juneau, out to the airport, and also Douglas Island. On Saturday, retired Juneau Police Captain Jerry Nankervis announced his candidacy for the District 2 seat on this year's ballot. Incumbent Ruth Danner last week said she would not be seeking re-election after one term, representing the district which includes the valley and out the road. Besides Nowlin, Jones and Nankervis running for assembly, former Deputy Mayor Merrill Sanford has said he's running for mayor. There'll also be three school board seats on this fall's ballot. Once again, the filing period for the municipal election starts August 3rd and runs until August 13th. Election day is October 2nd. A new genetic study of polar bears published yesterday by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences shows the species is older than previously thought. The study also suggests that intermingling with brown bears could have been in partial response to previous changes in the Earth's climate. Emily Schwing has more.
Previous studies suggest the polar bear as a species is roughly 600,000 years old. But a more thorough look at the marine mammal's DNA indicates the species is between 4 and 5 million years old. Dr. Sandra Talbot is a geneticist with the USGS at the Alaska Science Center in Anchorage. She's one of 26 authors of a study that takes a more comprehensive look at polar bear genetics.
There is so much information in this, and there's so much more that needs to be looked at. For me, the biggest surprise was the timing of the divergence.
Previous studies used mitochondrial DNA to explore polar bear genetics, which provides only small snippets of the bear's evolutionary history. The new study uses more comprehensive nuclear DNA from 28 bears, including a 120,000-year-old fossil, to look at similarities between polar bears and their brown and black counterparts.
My mitochondrial DNA will only pass from my daughter down through evolutionary time to her daughter and her daughter's daughter and her daughter's daughter's daughter. So it's called a maternal lineage. The nuclear genome, of course, is inherited biparentally. You get part of your nuclear genome from your mother. You get part of your nuclear genome from your father. And so it tells you a different story.
The study also shows that polar bears and brown bears have interbred or hybridized for much longer than scientists theorized. Talbot says that intermingling between species coincides with previous climate warming periods in Earth's history.
This gives us one hint that, oh yeah, here's a high latitude species that was involved in a hybridization event, and those events may have occurred, you know, as a result of changes in the environment. We don't know for sure. That's an additional story that needs to be brought out. But since we have whole genomic information, we can start to look at that.
Talbot says the study provides information about polar bears' resiliency to past climate changes. The polar bear population is much lower today than it was 5 million years ago. Talbot says it's unclear how the study might influence resource management decisions in the future. In Fairbanks, I'm Emily Schwing.